This week, NVIDIA's market hit a $1 trillion valuation. They join that elusive trillionaire club with Apple, Microsoft, Google, and Amazon. They've come back a little bit, but they're still right up there with the five companies that are responsible for 96% of the entire stock market's gains so far in 2023. That's right. The market is up 10%, but out of the 500 stocks in the S&P 500, there are really only five stocks that matter. The 495 other stocks combined have essentially returned zero. And we all know why NVIDIA is up. They make the GPUs that power all of AI, and money is being thrown at anything AI right now. We've seen the very early days of what could surely turn into an AI bubble, but NVIDIA can't be the only stock out there, right? They have to have some competition, some other companies that are going to make the backbone of this AI revolution. And today on Dumb Money, we found them.
You're listening to the Dumb Money Live podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there, Dave here, along with Chris and Jordan. We are Dumb Money. Welcome to Dumb Money Live. First off, 2 seconds, smash the like button. I'm going to do that right now. Chris, Jordan, it all started with OpenAI and really their DALL-E 2 image generation tool. For those of us paying attention to AI anyway, then ChatGPT came along and that opened everyone's eyes to how computers are instantly way smarter than we ever thought they were. And then Microsoft and their Bing made live search a thing with a chatbot, then Google. And Bard, which personally I like better than ChatGPT or Bing because it seems to do everything, but it doesn't hesitate to make up facts all the time for me. I like that though, but I have to keep saying, no, I'm pretty sure that's not right. But we've seen AI working its way into just about everything from Microsoft Office doing your work for you to Photoshop's new generative fill. I don't know if you guys have played around with that, but it's probably the coolest thing I've ever seen. And the one thing that all of these things have in common is that they're running on NVIDIA GPUs. So it's no surprise that NVIDIA stock is up 200% this year. And our goal here today is to identify the next NVIDIA. And I know you guys have stock picks, so let's get right into it.
Yeah, Dave, there's something else that all of these companies that are adopting AI have in common besides just utilizing NVIDIA's GPUs. Most, if not all of them, are going to be reliant on next generation data centers, right? We all know what a data center is. We know about Amazon, AWS, we know about Microsoft and Google and Oracle. The world has lots and lots of data centers. But as we transition to AI, the types of data centers that are needed are radically different, right? So these data centers are more focused on high performance with a high concentration of GPUs, but also have very different servers, right? They have a very different high-speed network architecture. Everything about the next-gen data center is different. So NVIDIA is kind of the most obvious piece of that new gen data center, but certainly not the only piece. And I think that the next NVIDIA is another component of what these high-speed data centers are going to bring to us, because over the next 10 years, what I think is going to happen is these data centers are going to get rebuilt. Not all of them, but many of them are going to get rebuilt from the ground up. And that is just an enormous capital expenditure, right?
So yeah, well, I think so. You've got to think about what's going to happen, right? And so the way that I see it is, are the data centers going to grow in square footage, or are they going to upgrade their technology? Because what's going to happen is that companies like Amazon, companies like Microsoft with Azure, they're going to start offering more and more APIs for these newer companies to come in and build on top of. But to be able to support those APIs, you need GPUs. You need more ability to crunch data across the back end. And so that's where Chris is talking about. They're going to need to upgrade these data centers. And so, you know, while I don't think we can really identify who's going to win and where the, you know, all of the opportunities are going to be in AI, we know for a fact that there's going to be some hardware that's got to go into this and some upgrades to data centers.
So is it fair to say that we have four names in this business that collectively together could be the next NVIDIA, right? So we're going to give you guys,
one way or another, involved in data centers, building networks, just being
servers that are
side of their walls.
Where everything is optimized, right? People, these are companies that will benefit from the optimization that is going to happen as the world adopts to AI. Okay, so Jordan, I know that you think over the last few days, especially, some of these companies have become overvalued already.
And yeah, I think the move, even on the ones that, you know, that we can talk about, has happened, right? And so you see it today. There's a little bit of a pullback in some of the names we're going to talk about. So some of them are down like 5% today, but they've had enormous moves.
None of them have received the attention that NVIDIA has had. No. So you have to assume.
No, but there's been a niche set of investors that have been all over it, like on Twitter. But they don't get the mainstream media attention at all.
But what happens over the next 6 months as the media attention expands and AI just builds and builds and builds?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, these other companies start to get a meaningful piece of that attention that NVIDIA has gotten over the past 90 days. I think to some extent,
hype cycles happened, right? And so now I think you're going to see investors need to broaden out and look to see, you know, some of these hyped up companies. You know, where is the earnings growth? Is this a pull forward, you know, kind of, or is this something that they just need to upgrade their data centers over the next 6 months and then it's done? Or is this, you know, something that's going to drive this growth cycle for some of these companies? And so I think that's you really have to, And so that is this a years long investment into the infrastructure?
Okay, why don't we start with what I think is the best of the four? And it's one that you came up with, that you sent to me, that I did some follow-up research. It's symbol SMCI.
Microcomputers, Inc.
Jordan, tell us.
The charts the old-fashioned way here.
Yeah.
This is their year-to-date chart.
It's intimidating. It's intimidating. But again, the PE on SMCI, before we even talk about what they do, Jordan, the PE is still what? Like in the teens. It's not the NVIDIA PE.
Yeah, right.
And so tell us why is this it's my number one.
Well, so there's two that I really like. It's this one and the one that we'll talk about next. But they're both, you know, they're both data center upgrade plays, right? And so they provide equipment to data centers, and that's really, I mean, it's that simple, right? And so, but these are companies that some of the bigger data center providers utilize when they're going through either a build out or an upgrade cycle.
But Supermicro is really, they do a bunch of things, but I think they're primarily focused on kind of like these next gen servers, right? Yeah. So basically you have to have the NVIDIA chips or some chip like it, but you also need to have the accompanying server. And what Supermicro has done is they've worked really closely with NVIDIA, right? And as these new chips are coming out, they are like pre-producing and pre-designing the next-gen servers to accompany those next-gen NVIDIA chips. So
And it's not just the servers, right? It's a whole package, right? And so it's the racking equipment, it's the blades, it's the, you know, back-end networking that that hooks into these things to keep the speeds.
You're listening to the Dumb Money Live podcast.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. ArmorAll, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
I will tell you, for those of you who follow the inverse Cramer effect of stocks, the first headline that's showing up here is that apparently on the lightning round 16 hours ago, Jim Cramer said that Supermicro Computer is not a buy. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Oh, he says not a buy.
Not a buy.
But for the inverse Cramer index, that one is going in the index.
That now I like it even more.
All right, let's go to the next one. You want to talk about ANET?
Yeah, so Arista Networks.
It is Arista Networks?
Correct. Correct. And with Arista Networks, I mean, again, so these are Arista Networks has had customers such as Microsoft and some of the bigger cloud players. For data center buildouts and data center upgrades, and it's the same. It's the same concept that that you're going to have to be upgrading some of the switching gear and some of this some of the parts of the data center that are going to handle all of the traffic.
Okay, but there are two more that I think are super interesting. One is a company that I've heard about forever, and I never really took the time to look into them because they're kind of big. Equinix, EQIX, is actually the world's largest data center company. And in fact, something like 40 to 50% of Amazon and Microsoft's nodes are actually in these Equinix data centers. So they have hundreds and hundreds of data centers all around the world that it gives them the ability, so they have a massive benefit, obviously, as the demand for data centers grows.
Right. So this is where I think we differ a little bit, right? Because where the prior two that we talked about are both involved in the upgrade cycle for existing data centers and new data center buildouts. So it's the equipment that you have to purchase to be able to actually run these data centers. Equinix is a REIT, and so. It depends on what you think is going to happen as far as the data center build outside. So are we building new data centers to support this? Or are we upgrading existing data centers?
Well,
we're going to utilize square footages of data centers more efficiently and that whole REIT space. And that's where I just don't know that the REITs are the right way to play this game.
Okay, but Jordan, as I understand it, to really properly build out for AI, which companies are going to be wanting maximizing everything, right? You have to have different types of data centers, and you have to have data centers at the edge, right? So you have to, and really it is so difficult. People don't understand how difficult it is to actually build out one of these data centers because you have to one part of the data center has to be really close to energy sources, right? It makes a big difference, right? the others have to be on the edge, closer to the actual users, when you're pulling back user data for AI, because it's constantly learning. So that kind of speed matters, and it would take other companies decades to build out what they've already built out in terms of the global reach,
yeah,
and the way that these data centers need to work together for the highest performance partners, especially guys like Amazon and Google,
yeah,
and Microsoft, that are going to be just throwing money at this the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, look, I think with the REIT space, you need to be careful with just the environment that we're in with interest rates. Just kind of changes the dynamics of how they operate.
But another thing about Equinix is they own, I think, almost the majority, 50% plus, I think. I could be wrong in that number. Of their data centers, and of the ones they don't own, they have they are financed at fixed rate financing, I believe, for a very long, that was a big part of their story, is how well positioned they are in this interest rate environment. So I feel pretty comfortable with them. I think it's a really interesting pick. I bought into all four of these. The fourth is one that I think is a little bit off radar. Okay. This is an interesting one. It's actually a Dallas-based company.
But it did go parabolic, if it's the one I think you're about to talk about.
It went parabolic, but off a very, very low initial base valuation, right? I think it's currently valued at about $700 million. Is that right, Dave? About $700 million?
The current market cap is $805 million.
Okay, which compared to the other companies we're talking about, which are, I think, all in the tens of billions.
69 billion, 51 billion, 11 yeah. billion. Yeah, they're all up there.
It's a much smaller company. So what's interesting is this company Applied Digital, okay?
A-P-L-D is the stock symbol there.
Yes. So they are a newcomer, not a newcomer to space, been around a little while. They only build high performance data centers. I think they have like three of them. I believe they were building them initially for blockchain yep. use, but they are now converting their data centers and are exclusively a high performance next gen data center company. And the reason why they popped is not based on hype. The reason why they popped is they announced a deal with a artificial intelligence client to pay them, I think, upwards of $180 or $190 million over the next couple years, which is more than triple their current revenue. And so the speculation here is that this would theoretically be the first of multiple wins in the AI space, as this is one of the few data center companies that are just exclusively focused on this space. In fact, they are building, they got that client in a partnership with your favorite, Jordan, Supermicro Computer. So they're actually partnered with SMCI to build out these data centers. Now, can they build them out quick enough as they start to expand? I don't know, but they're kind of like the, they're not a startup because I think they already had 30, 40, 50 million of revenue. And they're in the business. They're just, you know, but they only have three of these data centers. But they are, if you want a pure play in next gen high performance data centers for artificial intelligence, this company is a pure play. And I think there's a chance,
and it's smaller and it's more volatile. So we have those kind of risk factors, but it is a pure play.
Yeah. So those are four, yeah, I think, of the best in the picks and shovels. If you're wanting to do the picks and shovels outside of NVIDIA, I think those are four of the best ways to play it. Know that they are all got pretty overhyped the last few days. And
there is one company that we haven't mentioned that I will bring in as a little, just a little extra that has not been really caught up in this hype cycle. And Dave, I will tell you that your introduction was wrong because you said that NVIDIA makes these these chips. It's not. It's Taiwan Semi. They make them.
That's right.
And Taiwan Semi is just sitting at a comfortable like 15 PE, and they produce everything that NVIDIA designs. So NVIDIA is just they're just an IP company.
Yeah, Taiwan Semi is a company,
and software. But TSM actually produces these things. Great PE, great company. The argument against them is that people are afraid of the China-Taiwan geopolitical issue. But if that were to affect TSM, guess who else it's going to affect? Apple. It's going to affect NVIDIA. All of them use TSM to make their chips.
You're listening to the Dumb Money Live podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did you see 2 days ago what they announced their DGXGH200? I mean, that just rolls off the tongue, but it's seven times faster having their CPU and GPU talk to each other because they're all built together. They get rid of all of that like traditional connections. It's 48 times more scale and speed than their previous generation.
Yeah.
256 of their Grace Hopper superchips, an exaflop, which I don't even know how big that is, but that sounds huge. 144 terabytes of GPU memory. You're gonna have these data models that can be even bigger and require less energy to process.
But, It's that IoC concept
Of data centers that I could think of. And it was electricity companies, and I just couldn't find anything that was going to benefit from the increased use of electricity over the long term, although there are some startups that I'm interested in. There's a fusion startup that I'm very interested in. The CEO of OpenAI is one of the early investors in it. So non-public company, something that I am looking into. But I mean, I just am so excited about the future and just seeing all of the stuff that these GPUs are enabling.
Okay, but you know what, Dave? You know who's going to sell product based on that new chip you're talking about? Supermicro Computer right now is working with NVIDIA on customized servers, right? And customized architecture for that exact chip that's going to be coming out, right? I have a feeling that chip is going to go in data warehouses that are owned or launched by Equinix, okay? or maybe even Applied Digital, and they're all going to need high-speed networking, right? Which is Arista. So, like, they're all going to benefit from the new chip. So that's what makes it. That's the really interesting thing. And by the way, there are a few other interesting companies to think about. So, you know, Oracle as well. All right, from a data center standpoint, also. You know, IBM's been doing that Watson thing for 20 years. Like, where are they in this conversation, right?
There's an argument to be made, by the way, for Cisco company, systems as well.
Well, another company I research, but I don't like, but I do like the AI piece that they're working on, is Hewlett Packard. Not the Hewlett Packard that makes the printers, right?
Yeah, it's HPE. It's Hewlett Packard Enterprises. And by the way, they got smoked from their earnings last night. They're down.
I know. And that's the
problem.
That's the problem. And that's the reason why I didn't invest in Hewlett Packard on this, is because they are working on a lot of cutting edge AI stuff at that company. In fact, they acquired a couple of the most interesting companies in the AI space. The problem is that they are still focused on like on-premise hardware, right? So they're in a world, they're in the opposite world of these cloud data centers. They're on-premise, which the entire industry in Wall Street just has an assumption, right or wrong, is going to eventually get smaller and smaller every year for the next 10 or 15 years. But if you wanted a company that's trading at a really low PE, that does have a lot of AI, that's certainly one to think about. By the way, we're not financial advisors. We're just throwing out all the stuff that we research and what we invested in. But do your own homework, guys. Please do your own homework. Dave, I think there are two companies that we have to talk about. And one, I'm almost embarrassed to say, because I think we did a whole segment on why I thought this company was going to get crushed by AI. And I still believe it will get crushed by AI.
Oh, eventually. Yeah.
Eventually.
Yep.
But in the short term, the company that I thought would get crushed by AI, I actually think they will benefit from AI, be a key beneficiary, actually. And they have earnings coming up on, I think, June 15th. So the company is Adobe, and it's all because of how quickly they have been to adopt AI in their products in a stunning way. Dave, you've used the new Photoshop product.
I've used it. It's the beta version of Photoshop, and generative fill is the feature, and it's kind of incredible. You can take any image, like some of the best examples I've seen are album covers where they've taken a iconic album cover and then expanded beyond. You can fill in any image with anything you want, and it's
I saw an artist take the Mona Lisa and show you what the rest of the background looked like that day, and so it's actually on TikTok. You get a lot of people talking about Adobe right now and getting samples of this generative fill. And it's really interesting
because they get views. And so if they get views, they get more TikToks made. I've almost posted a TikTok of my own, but
it's like free advertising for Adobe right now.
Yeah. I think it's going to really help with the problem that we identified with Adobe. AI is going to eventually do all the creative work for you, but right now there's just not an easy way to do it. Yes, you can do the same thing in Midjourney. Yes, DALL-E 2 did have the generative fill effect, but it wasn't just like you know, load an image and drag and drop and it and hit generate and it goes, right?
So I think, you know, you're not going to be able to do all of the work for free. You still have to have a creative mind doing the work. But if they, but if Adobe can have AI tools ready to go that make their work way more efficient by being able to generate past the creative cluster that this artist puts together, then maybe they hold on.
But you know what? We've heard that, you know, back in the day, we thought that, you know, only Hollywood writers could write, that only the comedians that we saw on Netflix were funny. We thought that, you know, there were only a small number of people with the super talent that could do amazing things. And then TikTok came along and essentially democratized access to creativity. And what did we learn? We actually learned that there's like 100x more insanely talented people, maybe 1,000, 10,000x, than we ever thought possible, right? Because there are actually an insane number of creative minds out there, people that can do this stuff if given tool sets to allow them to do it without extensive training, okay? Without having to have, you know, wealth to be able to set aside time for this type of training, to learn how to use all these tools, that the last generation tools. So I actually think that we are going to find millions of people that can do the things that we thought only these professionals could do.
Well, look, I mean, so it's an interesting time to mention writers, because there's a big, writers walkout. The Writers Guild is in the middle of a big walkout because of terms that have to do with AI and what they're allowed to use AI for and what type of data they're allowed to, these studios are allowed to feed AI. And so,
okay, think about writers, Jordan. Don't you think beyond the, I don't know, the 40,000 writers and the Writers Guild, that there are millions of people around the world that have an unbelievable creative mind for writing, but for whatever reason, maybe they don't have the time because of their job situation. Maybe they don't have the talent to be able to put together a screenplay or a book. They don't know how to like pull those pieces together, right? But using AI tools, they can take that creativity that lives in their head, and they now have an easy way to translate that into a product that can actually be consumed by people, right? They actually have a real way to take that story and mold it into the format that would be a book or a movie or a TV show or just anything, right? Like, I think we're going to find that out over the next few years. I really do.
I think that the actual writers are going to use AI to help them with their own, you know, brainstorming, but also writing and, you know, trying to stay in the voice of a character. I see AI being a benefit to writers, but I also see it's a big problem for them, because now anyone with an idea can say, here's my idea, write me a script in the style of these other two movies. And
well, I think that's a lot of where these terms are coming to, is that, you know, these writers don't want all of the data that they've produced to go into the machine to be able to replace them, right? And so I think there's a lot of fear around that, which, you know, by the way, with all these strikes, you're going to have less content hitting Netflix. And
guys, getting back to the next NVIDIA, there's a controversial pick that I think we have to discuss. Maybe, I don't know, off radar to some, definitely not off radar to others. And that is one of our favorite companies to talk about, Tesla. Is it possible? Is it possible that Tesla can be the mega big winner, take all winner of AI? Is Tesla underrated as an AI play in multiple ways, right? Not just because of the technology that they're developing from all the feedback loop from their self-driving product in terms of visual AI feedback, which could end up being exceptionally important, but how they're adopting that technology. I only say this one time because I talk too much about humanoids, how they're adopting that technology with their humanoids to have humanoids actually use visual learning the same way and that feedback loop, but also the bots that Tesla is creating for AI, also the supercomputer, right?
They're building their own tech. They basically, are kind of their own NVIDIA, right? I mean, they're not building them as GPUs, but they are building their own proprietary systems, and they're ingesting all of this visual data from driving and interacting and reacting to real-world situations. Tesla's my favorite company of all time right now. That's a qualification. But I know, Chris, you just upped your stake in Tesla. It's my biggest holding. I see them being involved in so much more than just being a electric car company. And I think AI has to be a huge part of that.
Guys, I sent you guys, and I think I sent you guys an article, or Jordan, maybe I just sent it to you, Drew. Sorry, Dave, I didn't want to bother you on vacation, but I sent Jordan this article on Tesla's...
you sent it to me too, the Dojo article?
Yeah, that is why, I mean, it's actually unbelievably impressive. Their supercomputer and the way they're going about it, I think they might be overlooking Tesla as just a possible.
By the way, could you imagine if Tesla opened up APIs to their AI? Like if that was what they were working on underneath the hood?
It'd be big.
I wouldn't put it past them.
It'd be big. Like I wouldn't.
I could see the stock doubling if they were to do something like that.
So guys, I bought all four of the infrastructure companies we talked about. I am likely going to pick up some Adobe sometime between now and their earnings as an earnings play, because I think they're going to hype AI and what it's going to do for the company on earnings. I think it's going to be a big AI story that day for Adobe.
They're going to be all over talking about AI during earnings.
We are at peak, hype of AI. When I saw the CEO of Xerox on CNBC use the word AI 15 times in like a 2-minute interview.
Are we at peak yet? That's what I don't think we're at peak yet.
So there are certain metrics like internally in the stock market that, you know, some of these companies.
Here's my metric.
As much as they were during the dot-com.
Here's my metric. As soon as we see 2 to 3 AI companies go public on the same day, that's peak AI.
Oh, Dave, I thought your metric was going to be so different than that. I would have bet a lot of money that you were going to say that your metric was going to be as soon as you saw multiple stories about AI on your favorite show, The Today Show. And that is what the show.
They do multiple stories about AI, but that's not, that just means that AI has become common to the average consumer. AI in the stock market, it has to be two AI companies going public on the same day.
The IPO market got trashed so hard that there's nothing in the pipeline, right? And so
it's going to save it. AI startups that have just started by someone telling ChatGPT, "Start me an AI company. I want to go public this month."
Yeah. I got
to wrap it up, guys.
All right, that's fine. I think listen. We had a lot of, I think collectively, you can say that these companies are definitely forming the next NVIDIA. I'm investing in all of them, guys. I'm also going to add some Adobe. I up my Tesla. I just want the full package. I don't think this is peak AI, Jordan. I don't think we're at peak AI. I think we were at peak AI. If this is the new blockchain, then we're at peak AI.
I just mean this little short-term peak AI spike. I think there are companies that I think some of these companies are great companies. Do you want to buy them at this valuation after they've moved so much? I don't know. I'm not going to give that advice or not.
If you look at the past, when we go through super cycles, these companies do tend to get pre-hyped, but they can stay high and go higher way longer than we ever would have anticipated as part of a super cycle, because there's just not enough other public companies, like Dave is saying.
But like I said, with some of these companies, they're not sexy companies. They're like infrastructure companies, and they're, you know, kind of operating behind the scenes. They're not companies that are going to be hyped up on the media. And so they need to have a real impact based on what's happening. And as long as that's what's going on, then I think they'll be fine.
Okay. Jordan, I didn't hear what you said. Chris is in all four. Are you in any of these?
No, I had options on some of them that I'm out of now.
And For the record, I'm not invested in any of them. I am staying true to my strategy of NVIDIA, Google, Microsoft, Tesla, and I'm sticking with the big boys.
Yeah.
So conservative, Dave.
I'm going to buy some more NVIDIA today. It's now 3%. Hey, I'm going to buy some
light on red.
Good luck. I'll keep my NVIDIA for sure.
That's well. You're still long, right? Have you sold any?
Oh, I sold 25% of my NVIDIA. By the way, I know it's not an AI pick, guys, but I was up. I did 5-6 hours of more research on Molson Coors last night, and it has terrible market today. TAP is up. I'm telling you guys that one of my biggest levered positions right now for the next few weeks, at least, is Molson Coors. If they don't do anything stupid to screw up what's going on for them right now, which they might do something stupid, we'll see. If they don't, that's still my number one pick for the summer.
All right. I'm sticking with Tesla and NVIDIA. That's going to do it for this one. We're Dumb Money. We will see you next week.